All right, it's time for our next and final talk. Robert Hensing is going to talk about LeakSOps 4. He's going to give a bit longer introduction of himself. Round of applause for the speaker, please. And have a little time.
All right, yeah, so this is about LeakSOps 4, the why, what, and a little bit of how. I'm Robert Hensing. I've created Hercules CI. I'm on the Nix steering committee in the Nix team, and I work on these projects, the modular services and single package fixed point, like small things that I'm currently paying a bit of attention to. So if you're interested, you can talk to me about those. And this talk is about LeakSOps 4. And that's work that's sponsored by the Fair Diversity Project, which is these organizations. And they're a really cool project, because I think, I've highlighted this. This is from the website. So what I try and do is provide tooling for hosted cloud services. So this is not like home lab stuff, but more for hosting providers. It's all based on NixOS. And it's about, I think, a pretty like sort of civilizational topic, especially in like recent days. About making social media sovereign. Is Kun in the room? So there's also a sub grant program.
If you're in
like half a minute, if you, or in the end, yeah, that's fine. Yep. Good. So LeakSOps 4. What is it? It's a deployment tool. You should know that it is still a work in progress. This is like very early stages, and I would not recommend to use it. It's very unfinished. It's the successor to NixOps, and it combines a few concepts. I wouldn't say that it's novel, but it integrates a couple of ideas that make it work really well for deployments. So why? You might have heard of NixOps, and NixOps 1 is a tool for deploying NixOS systems. It does provisioning. It can deploy secrets for you, and also has a bit of support for doing some things around that, like adding DNS entries in some cloud provider or whatever, which that kind of works, but it never really took off. And it had a bit of trouble around testing and CI. Because that was basically just a bit underdeveloped. So it was hard to maintain because of that. And it means that pull requests got stuck. And basically the project failed. It's still bad. I think also part of the reason was the code base. It was written in Python, which is probably fine. It's an okay language. I'm personally not much of a fan. But I noticed that a lot of other contributors had sort of the same thoughts, and probably part of this was caused by the way it was set up. It had some tooling set up in the repo to add types, but the way it was set up, it was causing some issues that people thought their PR was bad or something, even if it was actually fine. It caused a lot of friction. And the main issue why I thought that this had to be a rewrite is the way it integrated with Nix. It called the evaluator twice, which is both too few times and too many, right? Because you might think, just call it once and it should be fine, right? But if you have a deployment that has some interdependencies, you might not have all the information at the right time. So you potentially need, unbounded, I guess, but finite number of invocations to make that work. Integrating through the Nix CLI is just not the way to go. And that means large architectural changes to implement that. So, before that, there was an effort to solve some of the problems in NixOps with plugins, but that turned the whole thing into a multi-repo setup, and that actually makes things even harder to change. So I have to apologize for this picture. This is the way it works, right? You have a superclass and some subclasses, but the superclass is in one repo, the subclasses are in another. You have these two Nixon configurations. It was a mess. I deeply apologize for the picture. Because I mean, I only took maintenance. I took over maintenance in a year after this, and the people before this they put a lot of effort to make it better, but it was a bit too late. They really did a good job, it just could not be saved. So I in 2021 I was still very optimistic about it. And it was still the only tool that like really integrates Nix and provisioning, which is something that I badly needed. So I figured, well, I'll join the maintainers and make sure that it stays live. Maybe it can grow again. So that's what I did. So let's take a step back and. See what kind of architecture can actually come up with for NixOps 4, right? So in NixOps 2, it was basically, the way you could put it, it was a deployment script that was made like more general and more configurable, but at its core, it was basically like a deployment script. And I figured for a successor, that should be more of an engineer thing. And for this week, we can take a look at the Nix architecture, which is actually very successful. So the way Nix works is you use the Nix expression language. Can I use my pointer here? Bye, pointer. Yeah, so use the expression language to create function calls that create derivations. Derivations refer to other derivations through store paths, and then Nix uses a sandbox and just the Nix store to make all that happen. And so for NixOps 4, we extend that architecture. So now we also use the Nix expression language to configure resources. I'll get into what those are later. And similar to how it works in Nix, these resources are processes that that you can write. Similar to how like a derivation builder can be anything that you write as well. So it's decoupled in that way. And that's a big difference between NixOps 4 and the old NixOps, is this decoupling. This will enable other people to write resources without being tied to too many architectural details. Right, so what is a resource? A resource is a declaration of a real-world object that's supposed to exist, and it has basically the CRUD operations. These operations are implemented in the resource. When you're using a resource, you don't really have to think about it. It is still declarative, as you know, with the Nix language, that's sort of what you get, right? It's declarative. And so NixOps is responsible for connecting all these operations and sort of the data flow between them. So deployment is a collection of resources. And besides the CRUD operations, it'll also have sort of a Nix run-like capability, which is great for scripting. And you can you'll be able to use that for things like backup or key rotation or really any sort of operation that you have to do on a deployment. You can use the values from that deployment to implement your script. Resource Provider is a program that's built with Nix. As you remember in the architecture, the middle layer, Nix calls it. It talks a very simple protocol, just JSON over the standard input and output streams. And yeah, so when using it, it looks something like this. So you may have a flake. And yeah, this attribute here, it's the default deployment. That's just a name. If you don't specify a name on the command line, you get the default deployment. yeah, and here you can see it's a function that takes as an argument the resources and uses that to declare the resources. This is what you might call a fixed point, and NixOps is responsible for connecting those together. Nix is a lazy language, which is the reason why this can even work. And when we sort of zoom in onto that resources function, in practice it'll look something like this. We're using the module system as well, so here you see that we're importing something from another flake, which helps with doing an express deployment. And it specifies the details for how that deployment should look. And then you can add more resources. So there's an example right where you have this dependency, because you're going to need the SSH key pair for doing the NixOS deployment. And that's something you can declare in a single deployment expression. NixOps is what we call a stateful deployment tool, which means that it can track the existence of things, so that when you, for example, when you remove something from your configuration, it can take care of removing those things in the real world as well. Also has some advantages where you can create a diff between the old state and the new state more easily. It is optional. If you're only using resources that don't rely on state, you can get away without it. And that's also the way that you bootstrap the state in the first place. Here in the example, we're using an S3 object to store the state, so that makes sure that everyone who works with the deployment is sort of using the same view of what's in there. So because we're using the module system, you can also do some of your own domain-specific stuff in those expressions, and sort of split up according to your needs. I'll skip this one. That's takes too long to explain. I'll be happy to explain it later outside. NixOps gives you the old Nix development experience. It's pretty much the only tool that really integrates it. For example, there's also Terranix. NixOps is heavily inspired on Terraform. And the difference between Terranix and NixOps is that with Terranix, you're really only generating a config file, and that doesn't really allow data from the deployments to flow into the Nix language and back into the deployment. So you're really still stuck with the HashiCorp config language, which is embedded inside of your Nix strings, which I think is not a great experience. Definitely not for the sort of what I hope this is going to become. It's the flagship tool for doing deployments with Nix. I think I'll just skip these so that we can get to the questions. Question section. I guess this is the point. So what's implemented is sort of the basics. So the general architecture and some preparations for even making this work. It's implemented in Rust, but it's talking to Nix, which is C++. So we have this C API layer in between. and still a lot is to be done. Currently, we have a create operation, but sort of the read, update, and delete stuff, and even making it stateful is yet to be done. The plan is to have an adapter so that resource provider implementations that are written for Terraform can be used in Nixdorf 4. So, questions? Yes.
It
does work. Yes. The question is, does it work? And yes, it does work. But the only part that really works is the create operation. We have a NixOps NixOS integration. That's actually also an important difference is that in the original NixOps, it was really only for NixOS, whereas NixOps 4 is a platform that you can use to do basically anything. So we have a NixOS integration now, but you may as well deploy to NixDarwin or NixBSD, which is a project that's like really new. So at some point, those will also be possible.
And yeah. Are there any scary details that you've discovered or patterns that make it look like it's going to end up like the previous NixOps?
So the question is there like any red flags?
That's
I guess
going to end up like the previous.
That it would end up like the previous one. I think it's a bit too early because a lot of it was sort of the ecosystem that did or did not build around it. I've paid a lot of attention to making sure that it's well documented and well tested. So that should help a lot. It'll have to prove itself in practice, but I'm hopeful with good reason, I think. So.
Strong like Hercules.
Yeah. yes?
Follow the same read before and reconcile and then update cycle and territory?
So the question is, will NixOps implement the same sort of state lifecycle that Terraform implements? I haven't quite decided. Please, okay.
I'll tell you why after. Kubernetes especially is a good example of why it's broken. You can't reconcile a CRD if you're trying to apply a CRD in the same application. When it's typing the plan, the CRD won't exist until it'll get to save the resources that are already created. And then it won't work to get the most safe part.
Okay.
Please don't do it.
Okay. I just got some advice not to do it like Terraform, and I would love to talk later. Yeah.
Sounds like you can have a conversation about that, and maybe we can get back to that topic, but I think there's more questions left. We are not so tight on time because this is the last talk, and I also, like, there is some time on the schedule now, so I think there was a question in the back earlier.
I was just wondering, for remote deployment, like currently in Myanmar, for the how, and the reason I use it was the one I got working back to the house 7 years ago. I think NixOps 3 was still working. How does NixOps 4, which seems to be a lot more than just like remote deployment tools, can I start using it now? Is it like an app overlap or am I interested in that?
So the question is for a Comina user, can I start using it now? I would say almost. We're kind of using it in a way similar to Comina, I think, currently in the project. But we still have like a few rough edges that should be pretty easy to resolve. So I think in a month or two, you could give it a shot. Kun?
Yeah.
Can you ask the question?
Yeah, so you mentioned the challenge of having information flow from I guess the resources that you're provisioning to the NixFlow configuration. Would you be able to maybe comment on how your approach to this compares to NixOS Anywhere with your Terraform module, like recently getting this new parameter special args that would allow to have like Terraform information like flow into the NixOS configuration?
Right. Yeah. So the question is, how does the data flow between resources differ from how it's done with an existing Terraform integration, which uses special args? So I have to summarize a bit. How it differs with NixOS Anywhere. So the difference is that because it's all just in the Nix language. You don't have to go through like a special attribute set that gets serialized or something, right? So I think that's how that works.
I guess you use a Terranix or something, then you sort of get like a similar experience.
It is similar, but it's just a bit more streamlined because you don't have to deal with two languages at a time and serialization between them.
In that case, I guess going through such a more traditional Terraform flow, you would get like the entire Terraform ecosystem. Like, if you're using NixOps, like, wouldn't that kind of force you to, like, wouldn't you get constrained to like this wrapper?
So if you want to use the existing Terraform ecosystem, that would still be possible by going through a NixOps resource that calls into Terraform. That would basically let you achieve the same thing. Yeah. So that's possible. Yeah.
There was another question back there.
Yeah.
My question is, how can you also create providers in Terraform language in NixOps for how do you implement the
Sorry, I didn't catch the last.
How do you implement the foot operations for a new kind of system?
Right. So you'll probably be able to use the Terraform adapter for a lot of things. But if it doesn't exist yet, or maybe there's something something special that might work better with a direct integration. The way you would do that is you would write a provider, which is it's a program that takes JSON objects in standard input, and it'll have to write JSON objects on standard output according to a protocol that's documented in the NixOps manual. And in addition to that, you'll have to provide some expressions to sort of provide the schema for it, I guess. That's currently how it works. We'll probably improve this a bit. That's the general idea.
And the question was, I think, how do you implement the CRUD operations? Right? Just to repeat the question.
Right, yeah, so the CRUD operations...
just repeat the question, you know, for the audience.
Oh, right, yeah, the question was how to implement the CRUD operations.
All right.
Yeah.
There was also a question here.
Yeah, let me pose this as a question. So we are actually funding this from the NGI Pediversity project, and that entails at least one implementation of what NixOps will do in a very extended way. So in the end, you will have a Nix panel where you can just click stuff and it will work. So normal people can also use NixOS, which is like the holy grail, but yes, we're going to implement this. And if you want to work on this, we have a sub-granting program. There's still more than 400,000 euros available. So look on our website and then apply for a grant. But an LNet, and maybe in the next few months you will get some money to actually help us reach the Holy Grail. Now please repeat the question.
Yes. So I guess the question is, please go to fediversity.eu. We have a subgrants program with plenty of money available, where you can help out with doing really cool NixOS stuff to bring it to well, ever more normal people.
I will be outside.
Are there any more questions? Like we can.
Oh yeah. Are you having fun?
Yes, I'm having fun. Yeah.